Hello and welcome to the Vistamilk podcast. I'm Emer Ferguson, the Education and Public Engagement Manager at Vistamilk SFI Research Centre. During the course of this podcast series, we will introduce you to some of our fantastic researchers and the work they do here at the centre. For the month of March, we are highlighting women across the organisation and are delighted to welcome our next guest, Vice President for Research, Innovation and Impact and Professor of Electronic Engineering at University College Dublin, Professor Orla Feely. Today, Orla is interviewed by Vistamilk PhD student at Tyndall, Anna Claudia Ferreira.
So, before we start, do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself and the role that you are now and how you arrived there?
Sure. So, my name is Orla Feely. My background is in electronic engineering. Did my undergraduate in UCD, my PhD in the University of California, Berkeley. Then I came back to UCD as a lecturer, rose through the ranks to professor, and now I'm also the Vice President for Research, Innovation and Impact at UCD. Among other jobs, I'm also President of Engineers Ireland, for example.
That's brilliant. And because we are trying to, and here today, to celebrate International Women's Day, is there anything you want to share with us, any thoughts about it? How and why do you think it's so important to celebrate this day?
Well, I think it's a really valuable opportunity to take stock of where we are, to celebrate what we have achieved in terms of gender equality, but also to share our thoughts about the challenges that persist. And I think it's really important that we do both, that we celebrate success, but also identify challenges. You know, if I look at my lifetime, or even say just my professional lifetime, the changes for women have been extraordinary. Again, if I just look at professionally, when I started as a student in UCD in the early 1980s, there was an article in the Irish Times just a couple of years before I started, there were no women among the UCD professors or associate professors. So the two top ranks of the university academic ladder, there were no women. In senior lecturers, there were 8 out of 142. So, you know, it was tiny, tiny numbers. Now I'm a member of the university management team that is 50-50 male and female. So similarly, you know, when I came back as a faculty member, I remember meeting someone from another faculty in UCD and he said, oh, of course, you're the woman in engineering. And I was, you know, for a number of years, I was the only woman on the engineering faculty. Now the college principal in engineering in UCD is a woman. We've got a head of school in civil engineering, a woman, women at every level in UCD engineering. So the advances have been fantastic and remarkable and transformative. So let's celebrate them, but also let's think about what still needs to be done, because there's loads that still needs to be done.
Absolutely. Myself as an engineer student and now an engineer, I can see that every day.
Yes.
So I guess you can totally relate with the breaking the bias theme now.
Yes. And, you know, and I think it's a very nice way of framing the day. And I think, you know, we should really recognize that bias, you know, we all have biases within ourselves. OK, we all have these unthinking assumptions, and I think we all have to challenge them in every respect. And important, even though obviously we're concentrating on gender today for International Women's Day, but, you know, bias does not just relate to gender. And I think we need to challenge it in every dimension, wherever it appears.
Oh, I absolutely agree with you. And now, looking at some females, like pioneers, entrepreneurs, sports related, is there someone that you look up to?
You know, I don't really have a particular role model as such. I'm kind of more kind of magpie like, you know, whenever I see, you know, inspiring women around me, I'll kind of take a bit here and a bit there, often just unconsciously. You know, and if I think just in academia, OK, because that's, you know, the place where I've developed my career. So to look around me there. And again, I talked earlier about in UCD, the situation that I found as a student there, you know, in my whole, you know, academic life, either as a student in UCD or as a student in the University of California, Berkeley, where I took lots of courses, as you do as a PhD student in the United States, I never had a single woman lecturer. So, you know, there were no kind of role models until when in the latter stages of my PhD in Berkeley, the School of Electrical Engineering and Computer Science, in the Electrical Engineering Division, they hired a woman for the first time. Her name was Avide Zakor. So she was, you know, she wasn't that much older than me at that stage. She had just finished her own PhD in MIT, and she came and I did a research project with her. We had a kind of a brief collaboration during my studies there, and she was brilliant. You know, she's gone on to a stellar career. A lot of her technology is behind Google Earth and Google Street View. And to interact with somebody who was just that couple of steps ahead of me on the ladder, I found really, really helpful. And I think that's always very important about role models. If you pitch the role model too high, then people don't see enough to identify with. So when I then came back to UCD, again, I spoke about the situation that was there when I was a student. When I came back as a faculty member, there were women ascending to really significant leadership positions, really great achievers like Dervla Donnelly, Mary Daly, Bridget Laffan. Outside UCD, but another real source of inspiration was Jane Grimson, the first woman president of Engineers Ireland. So they have always been women like that have been role models for me, who have been such pioneers in leadership within academia. As vice president for research and innovation in UCD, two of my counterparts were Anita Maguire, the vice president in UCC, who's a brilliant, brilliant colleague, a really strategic thinker and a wonderful person to work with, and Linda Doyle, who of course is now known to everybody, having gone on to greatness as the first female provost in Trinity College Dublin. So I've been always in academia, I've been really lucky to have outstanding women leaders, and I've learned so much from them.
So happy to hear that. We have all of these gaps that we mentioned that are now being filled in, you know, women in engineering particularly. But is there anything that you think we should do different to encourage women nowadays to just go and put herself first and maybe try to reach for more leadership roles, try to own their themselves? Because I see where I am, a lot of them, they are a bit afraid of going for those positions. They are not sure, they are uncertain, and those uncertainties and maybe even their life, their personal life, pushes a bit back.
Yeah.
How can we support them? How can we help them?
I think first of all, we need to get the message out loud and clear that we absolutely need women in leadership roles. I think that's, you know, it is so obvious that you know, it almost shouldn't need to be said that everything is better. Decisions are so much better. Work environments, work cultures are so much better when you have a diversity of backgrounds, a diversity of viewpoints around the table. So we absolutely need that. And women need to hear that welcome, if you like. So to support women who might be kind of apprehensive about taking on those roles, one thing we can do, but I want to talk about a second aspect of this in a minute. So, you know, there are formal structures we can do, like, you know, mentorship programs, formal leadership training. And I've been involved in a number of those, and I've seen great examples of how they can really support women to kind of put the foot down on the accelerator and really advance. Now, I do have one reservation, though, in talking about that, because it suggests that, you know, to fix this problem, what we need to do is to fix the women. Whereas what we really need to do is, of course, to fix the system. And you talked about that there in the challenges that women face in their work lives and their personal lives. So there are still all these barriers. We're kind of chipping away at the barriers all the time through a lot of work that we're doing. But the barriers are still there to allowing women to advance and to creating a leadership environment that they feel welcome in and that they want to be a part of. So a quote that I like in this context is by a woman called Virginia Vallian, where she says that mountains are molehills piled one on top of the other. So you have lots of small little kind of, you know, micro barriers, if you like, as you advance, you know, the job, you know, description that's phrased in language that just doesn't resonate with you, or the working hours that then just don't happen to suit, you know, your caring responsibilities. So all of these little things combine to create mega barriers for women that continue to prevent women from ascending into leadership in the numbers that we would want. So I think we have to identify those barriers. We have to remove those barriers, the big ones and the little ones. And then hopefully, as that is done, and we've undoubtedly been making progress on this, but we need to make more progress and faster so that we really smooth those trajectories for women and for the total diversity of talent to ascend to leadership positions. And that, again, getting back to your original question, that for me is one of the big things that International Women's Day is all about.
Oh, good to hear that. So in the world of work, as we are talking now, it's not a level of playing field for men and women. What has been your experience, and is there anything in particular that you would now know that you'll tell yourself younger?
And you know, when I look back, I have at every stage been really, really lucky. Whatever it is about my little corner of engineering academia where I built my career, I've been surrounded by such positivity and support and reinforcement at every stage, from mostly from them. It was mostly men around me, particularly in the early stages. So from all those men who were my mentors, my supporters, you know, I've been so fortunate in the environment that I've worked in. In the early stages of my career, you know, I was almost always the only woman in the room. Now I'm almost never the only woman in the room, unless it's a very small room. But when I look back to those days when I was the only woman in the room, and very often the youngest person in the room, you know, I think it took me a while to find my voice and to trust in my ability. Even when I knew the answer to a question or the response to a situation, I might have kind of held back a little bit from voicing it, you know, because of, you know, what I might have felt about my own position in the hierarchy there. And that's what I would say to myself now, to my younger self, if I could: trust your voice, you know, trust your ability, you know, get your voice out there louder and sooner. And I would say that to all women. They have a voice, their voice is important, and, you know, to get it out there into the discourse because it is needed.
Okay. Even though there might have been here a different age between the two of us, it's nice to hear that you have been there. And in the past, during my master's, I also have been multiple times the only woman in the room, and, you know, syndrome imposter, everything was playing against me, and it was difficult to, you know, stand my ground and hear my voice. So
yes,
it's great to hear that from you as well.
Yes, and but it's so important. And I think another message for particularly for younger women, it gets easier the more you do it. You know, speak up once and you will find that, you know, what you say will be valued. It certainly should be valued. You know, we know there are environments where it may not be. But, you know, once you get your voice out there and you realize the importance of it, it's easier to do it the second time and the third time. And you also serve as a model for others around you. So, yes, good. Get the voice out there. That's what this is all about.
Yeah, I agree. And is there the same way? Is there any advice for people who wants to do or wants to achieve the same as you now?
And I suppose it's hard to say, you know, what you say to achieve what I've done, of course, because I've done kind of a number of things. I was an engineering academic, then I went into, you know, academic leadership. If I just maybe talk about academic life in general, because that was probably of most interest to those in Vistamilk who will be listening to your podcast. I mean, first of all, academic life has been a wonderful one for me. I mean, I think the teaching and research, they are two of the great contributions that we can make to the world. And it's such a privilege for me to have been part of academic life and to build my career within it. You know, to young women and, of course, young men who are entering the profession and going up the research ladder now, you know, I have to say it is much more difficult now than it was back in the day for me. You know, I was hired into UCD straight out of my PhD. I hadn't even submitted my thesis when I did my interview for UCD. And then I got the position. And that would not have been all that unusual back in those long distant times. Now we know that, you know, the vast majority of those who study PhDs will not end up in academic positions, even the same for the vast majority of postdocs. So make sure that as you undertake kind of research training, make sure that you are keeping lots and lots of doors open. Okay, make sure and really make sure that your training gives you these opportunities, that you are getting the opportunities to develop a broad array of skills applicable across lots of different, you know, industry sectors, job types, and make sure that you're getting your network built, that you're getting all those transversal skills that you need, and make purposeful choices about these things. Another thing I would say is, and I think it's more important than ever for those, again, contemplating an academic career, a very important word now is your narrative and your impact. You need to know and to own your narrative. And if you look, for example, at grant funding agencies or job applications now, it's no longer about a big, long list of publications. It's about being able to give a narrative about, here is my work, here is my contribution to it, here is why it is important. Here is how I have advanced a positive research culture. here's how I have supported innovation, you know, to know the story of your progression, because that ultimately is what will convince other people. Everybody loves narrative. Everybody loves to listen to stories. So make sure that you know for yourself, you know, why you're doing what you're doing, what impact you hope to deliver through it. And that is what will ultimately convince others of the value of what you're doing and build your own success.
Makes total sense. Now, can you share with us, what are you most proud of? Not only in your work, but if you can share a bit of your personal life as well, we would much appreciate.
Sure. Well, first of all, what I'm most proud of in my work, I really love my job as Vice President for Research, Innovation and Impact at UCD. UCD is a wonderful, wonderful organization, and I'm surrounded by amazing colleagues who are doing really fascinating work across every discipline that you can possibly imagine. I think, you know, I'm fundamentally a very optimistic person. It's why I think I'm an engineer. Engineering is a really positive profession. You're always looking for solutions to challenges. And similarly, as I said a little bit earlier, higher education and research, these are such positive areas in which to work. You know, you're dealing with students at a pivotal point in their lives, opening doors for them that will allow them to go on and do wonderful things. You're dealing with research, you know, really delving into human knowledge, advancing human knowledge for the betterment of society and the economy. So, you know, every day in UCD, I'm working with researchers. Maybe they might be researchers into James Joyce or into early childhood education or cancer research or sustainability or space research, you know, fascinating topics, and I get to work with them, I get to support them, I get to see the really great work that they're doing. So I'm very proud of what we're doing in UCD in research and innovation, and very proud to be a part of that. You talked about life more generally, and I know it's an awful cliche, but you know, it's really true. You know, I have two sons, they're teenagers at this stage, and you know, I'm so proud of them. I mean, they're just great people. Aww. They're really decent, they're funny, they're positive, they're smart, they're you know, good people who contribute to the world. So I'm so proud of them, particularly proud, you know, when I look at the pandemic and the time that they've come through, you know, all of that kind of age group, it's been such a tough time for them. There's so much of life that you're supposed to be experiencing as a teenager that they missed out on. And yet throughout, they were positive and great company. And, you know, my husband and I are so fortunate to have them and so proud of them. So bit of a cliche, Claudia, but that's what I'm most proud of.
But it's beautiful. It's beautiful. Thank you for sharing that with us.
Of course.
Now, also the words mindfulness, the word work-life balance, we all have been hearing about it the past years. Is there any insights you want to share with us about it?
If I look at work-life balance, when the boys, again, to speak to them again, when they were younger, I worked part-time for a period, and that was great. So again, if you know, approach your career, I would say, if you have children when they're young, you know, approach your career in a flexible manner if you can, and use whatever structures are there to support you, and don't be afraid if the structures are not there to support you, to look for the solutions to support you. You know, increasingly people know that we cannot make work, if you like, unless it works in tandem with people's lives. So, you know, so it's really important that workplaces know that they have to support those with young children, and that those with young children avail of those supports. So that was very important to me at a time in life. Looking now at work-life balance, you know, I think I'm lucky in that I do find it quite easy to switch off, even if I have something very, very big going on at work that I'm, you know, really engaged in at work. You know, when I leave it behind me, when I come home, when I'm chatting to my family or doing whatever I'm doing, you know, I do find it easy enough to separate that out. Now, being truthful, you know, obviously I have to be truthful here. You know, I do tend to, you know, late in the evening, or not even all that late, always in the evening, sitting on the sofa, open up the laptop on the arm of the sofa and get into kind of the emails. And so, you know, and that works for me. But it troubles me a bit, because what I hate is that if I send an email late into the night to a work colleague, very often I'll get an email back from them very quickly, And, you know, I particularly like meet people much junior than I am in the organization, much more junior than I am. And that is absolutely not the kind of environment I want to be supporting or modeling for people. So I really try to hold myself back from doing that. Sometimes I forget, and I certainly get the message out to my team that under no circumstances do I expect them to be working on these things outside hours. And I think we really have to be very careful about expectations, and even, you know, even for someone like me, when I try to make it clear it's not an expectation, the behavior that I'm modeling doesn't always support what I'm saying. So, you know, examining my own conscience, I think I need to be very strict on myself in that regard. The pandemic, of course, made things harder in this regard, because, you know, rather than, you know, working from home, we were almost like living at work. It seemed like at many times, and it really blurred those boundaries. But I think it's very important as we emerge from the pandemic and as we look to the nature of work as we're moving forward, that we really reassert what is a healthy work-life balance.
Okay, I think something I would like to highlight from your answer is like the idea of being present and being the moment, either if it's at work or at your house.
Yes, yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
And finally, to sum up, do you have any motivational thoughts that you want to share with the women listening?
Well, maybe particularly thinking of the women, you know, starting out on their career journey or earlier in their career journey than I am. Just that, you know, it's such a privilege to be able to chart a career in an area that you love and that gives you great satisfaction and allows you to contribute to the world. When I look back, you know, when you're starting off in your working life, there are an awful lot of barriers that you perceive. Looking to the positive, a working life really lasts for a very, very long time. You know, I'm further along that journey now. So looking back, I can see all the twists and turns that my career brought me. So, you know, a career will bring untold opportunities through all sorts of different dimensions, all sorts of different ways of change. Look, understand yourself, understand your strengths, understand your values, understand your passions and how you want to contribute to the world. And when opportunities present themselves, as they will, that align with those strengths and values, you know, pursue at least some of these. You can't pursue all of these, right? OK, you can't do everything and you can't pursue every opportunity and offer. But where you see ones that really align with your strengths and your passions, go for it. You know, really, really take them on and see what you can achieve, and you'll really be amazed by what you can deliver.
Thank you. I'm sure, like me, many will take this into consideration.
Thank you, Claudia.
Great. Thank you so much, Orla and Claudia. It's been absolutely fabulous. I'll just pop on my video again. It's amazing, Orla, because I was actually looking up while you were speaking about when were women allowed to attend university for the first time in Ireland, and to see that it was only in the early 20th century in 1908,
yes, yes.
It's mind-blowing, and how we've changed, really. And
yes,
there's always room for change, but it's absolutely fantastic that there has been such progression over the last 100 and something years. It's great.
Yes.
Yeah.
Not that my career lasted over the 100.
Oh,
no, years.
No,
no.
No, but it's amazing that to see that there has been such progress in your career time. It's great.
And oh, completely. Yes.
Can't wait to see what's going to happen in my career time and versus children,
exactly.
Our future generations.
Exactly. Yes.
Fantastic.
Yes. Yeah. And, you know, it's such a dark time for the world at the moment, and everything is so bleak and horrible. And, you know, it's great that you are doing something like this, just a little kind of beacon of positivity and optimism for people. Yeah. So well done.
And it's so lovely. And I suppose we have to remember that we're STEM ambassadors all the time.
Yes, exactly.
Every time
exactly, yes.
We put anything out on social media, we're STEM ambassadors. And it's just wonderful. Like I wouldn't, I suppose, I didn't know what I wanted to do in secondary school until someone came in and spoke to us about their career.
Yes.
And kind of getting an insight into someone else's career and life. It's just wonderful. It's just fantastic.
I know, yes.
So thank you
so
much.
I hope that's useful to you.
It was absolutely fantastic. I really enjoyed it.
Okay. Oh, well, thanks so much.
Vistamilk is focused on innovative pasture-based dairying and is co-funded by Science Foundation Ireland and the Department of Agriculture, Food and the Marine. To find out more about our research, visit www.vistamilk.ie or find us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, or LinkedIn.